and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello, hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. On this week's podcast, we bring you...
The Liverpool Art Prize winners are announced.
Sound and vision.
Sculptures at the Tate.
Surprise, surprise. All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. Okay, news. News this week. Clearly, Ian, the big news is... Liverpool Art Prize winners announced. I'm sure everybody knows already. Go on, tell us.
Yes. I'll keep you in suspense a bit longer, just talk about it. Because we had a really good night on Wednesday. Really enjoyed it, because I love being on the stage, you know. That big stage in the Wake Theatre, making a speech.
It was fantastic. I was, you know, it was fantastic. We're in the Wake Theatre. It was all lit. It was all dressed. It was all projected. It was really well done.
Yeah, we must thank Novas, the guys at Novas, for that. The sound and vision people just did it for us. You know, I just came along with my laptop and my slideshow, and they put lighting and even smoke effects and all kinds. It was really, really great. So yes, then eventually announced the winners, who the main overall prize was won by Al and Al, and the people's choice is Elizabeth Willow. There was over 1,000 votes cast in the people's choice, which is really good. Shows how many people have been to the show and bothered to vote. I'm really pleased with that. And yeah, two very popular winners, I think. Al and Al, got the main prize, but they did the, hopefully you know what Al and Al do by now.
It was great. Lizzie Wheeler, she's very shy, wasn't she? She wouldn't say anything. She did say a couple of words into the microphone, but she didn't say a great deal.
We were quite worried because she's very shy and a bit nervous about. So we had all the artists sitting on chairs up on the stage there, so she wasn't too happy about going up there. But yeah, she did very well in the end. She did say a few words, and then she actually spoke live on Radio Merseyside later on as well. The Radio Merseyside were there, did a few sort of live inserts on the programme, so hopefully all the listeners were on the edge of their seats waiting to hear the results, but they got them just before 7 o'clock, which was good.
Yeah, and it's been reported all over the place, hasn't it? There's been a good bit of coverage about it. And, of course, Al and Al's speech, you couldn't get them off.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, a bit like, I think they said it was a bit like the Oscars, wasn't it? They were thanking their family and friends, et cetera, et cetera.
Their mothers.
Their mothers, yes. And, they had a real party afterwards. Yeah, their parents had got some champagne from somewhere and had a great time.
That was great.
Yeah, the exhibition does carry on till next Monday, May the 4th, which is a bank holiday Monday, but it'll be open even though it's a Monday. And then that's it until next year.
I'd just like to say congratulations and really well done. It was a lot of hard work, and I know you and Mina have grafted at it, but it was a good show, and there was a fantastic turnout there to see the winners as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it was hard work, but very rewarding to see all those happy faces, even the artists who didn't win those prizes. Really enjoyed taking part, and hopefully it'll help them in their careers.
Yep, congratulations, and good luck to the two winners, and good luck to everyone else. That was really great. Now, also in the news this week, in Merseyside, not necessarily just in Liverpool, there's a big head on the scene, and I'm not talking about Al and Al, but what's the big head? Tell us about that.
Oh, you can probably tell us more, because I think you actually went to see it, didn't you? It's called The Dream, and this is this big statue. I can't remember the size, obviously. Is it 20 metres or so? At Sutton Colliery, the former coal field, Sutton Colliery in St. Helens, which was unveiled last week. And it created by the artist Juan Plenza.
See, I always say Juame, and that's wrong. It's Juan. I can't do it.
Juan.
No, not Quam. It's no, I can't do it.
Okay,
it's Jaume. He's really well known, and this is a complete side issue. But the local football team where he lives, they send, because he's so well known and so highly regarded. He's got two tickets. They send him two season tickets and a bot in a box for the football team. It's kind of, my God, he's really well respected.
Ah, yes, that's a good idea. A big hint there to Liverpool FC, if you're listening.
Who for? For you?
For me, of course, yeah. Yeah, not you. Actually, where's he from?
Spain.
Spain, okay. Ooh, some good teams there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, and the pictures, I haven't seen it, but the pictures look really great. I saw a good picture by Mark McNulty today. I put it on the blog. It looks really impressive. Sort of, it's a really light, almost white colour, isn't it? The stonework, and it's on the top of the hill there, up in the, with it's a representation of a girl's head, and it looks like she's got her eyes closed and she's sort of dreaming and dream.
And it is a fantastic project. It's there were loads, you know. So I turned up for the press launch and went along, which was held at the World of Glass, St Helens, and then we all went. Drove down there. It was quite a distance from the centre of St Helens, but went down and it was kind of like, where are we going? Where is it? And we couldn't see it and all this kind of thing. And we finally turned the corner and there it is. And it's a real spectacle on the top of this hill. There's been some fantastic pictures coming through of it, as you said. I was busy sending you pictures on the day, wasn't I? Thinking, you know, oh well, Ian's getting these and he's gonna be able to blog these straight away, but.
Yeah, I don't know how to get pictures off my mobile phone. It's something I just never do. I just use my mobile for phone calls and text and never really got into the Twittering or anything from the mobile. I assume I can do it, but I probably have to pay to go onto the web, I think, with the package I've got.
Right, there you go. So there would have been images a lot sooner. But there was an enormous amount of, you know, local people there. I mean, it's a really big project. The Arts Council have put some money into the project and the Art Fund have put some money into the project. And it's been Laurie Peak from the Banyuls been working on the project, and she's taken a group of miners, ex-miners, around various different places looking at sculptures, public art, you know, in its setting. And, you know, they showed a short film at the press launch and they were reacting to that, like, by saying how awful some of it was. And then they got the commissions through, they got the work through, the applications through from the artists, and they went, oh yeah, what, this Juan May Plenza. And so they went with him, and it's, you know, Brian Connolly, who I think is he's one of the ex-miners. It's such, you know, he speaks so passionately about this project and about the value of this project to them, the ex-miners of Sutton Manor, and for, you know, and the leader of the St Helens Councils just speaks so highly of this project. It says, you know, the value of it to St Helens and tourists, you know, bringing the tourists in. They're all just really over the moon with the project. And looking at the piece, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Really fantastic piece. Really, some of the press photos I've seen, they're a lot better than mine, but some of the press photos I've seen are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's great the way the local community have been involved in the whole thing, especially the miners, the former miners. You do obviously get the inevitable people who say, oh, it's £2 million, waste of money, etc. But as you say, everybody's involved and the people who are involved are really supporting it. And yeah, obviously I think it looks great. And apparently you can see it from the, as you pass along the M62, mm-hmm. if you're driving out that way. And it's Channel 4 really involved, aren't they? And I think there's a programme next week, or maybe the week after, about the whole Art 4 project thing, and you'll be able to see it on TV then.
Yeah, it's Big Art, I think it's called. And so this is one part of this programme for Channel 4, and there's another part that was hidden something or other in Burnley. There was Hidden Pictures. Which were done by Grey World, that was in Burnley. So yeah, it's all part of the same programme, and as you said, that's going to be on Channel 4 later on next month, I think. So watch out for that. Quality, absolute quality. That's all I can say. Now, also in the news is what, Ian?
Futursonic, we mentioned this a few times. It's in Manchester, but it's a great sort of new media, arts and music events every year. And this year it's 13th to 16th of May. And the brochure is now available online. I've had a quick look through. There's lots of artwork. Maybe in recent years there didn't seem to be so much art, but this time there is quite a lot. Mostly the Cube place in Portland Street, I think it is, and other places as well. And sound art and music, as I say, and all over just a few days in Manchester.
It's Manchester, but it's this Philip Glass, the musician's meant to be playing. There's been an enormous amount of interest in that. So the stuff going on at Cube, that she's really good, and there's a conference, there's art conference music, should be really good, should be really big. And there's a couple of people I know from Liverpool that are working on it. Ruth Adams, who used to work at the Biennial, and Sarah Smith, who used to work at Fact. They're both working on it. It's gone, wow. It's mostly Liverpool people working on it.
Yeah, and certainly some of the sound art people from Liverpool are going to be involved. And Bairn Everything at Bairn do graphics and stuff. They're involved in some way. And so the website is futuresonic.com. And nice, they redo the website every year as well. It's a really nice website. So all the details are there.
And it's, when you say the sound art people, you mean Sound Network?
I think so.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, yeah. I don't know any details because I haven't spoken to Ross lately, but they are. Now, also coming up, I'm laughing already. It's tickled the rib. The Comedy Festival.
There's all these festivals are starting up now. The weather's getting a bit better. There's Comedy Festival starts, I think it's the 1st of May. I think it's the 1st. It's only up for a week or so. Anyway, early May. The brochure's available now. But there's no, as far as I can see, there's no visual art element in that. Sometimes there is sort of cartoons by Peter Grant or somebody like that at View 2, but not this year. But anyway, it's a good laugh.
It is a good laugh. And also coming up, and I know the official launch is the 2nd of May, can't remember exactly where, but I'm going to be heading down there. Writing on the Wall Festival.
Writing on the Wall, yes, this takes up the whole of May, I think, and yeah, starts on the 1st or 2nd. Yeah, just lots of literature events, reading, plays, all kinds. I think Pulp Fiction, they call it, don't they, where the writers actually stand up and read some of their writings, and they have a panel vote on it, and then there's a final held somewhere. So various venues around the town. Some in CUC, there's a play called Beating Berlusconi, which sounds really interesting. It launches at CUC, and then it's actually been taken around all round Merseyside in pubs and clubs and all kinds. It's about this guy when Liverpool won the European Cup final in whenever it was, 2005, I think. A Liverpool fan actually managed to get up in the stands and sat next to Berlusconi and nearly had a fight with him when Liverpool scored, something like that. And it's based on this true story anyway, and it should be really good.
It should be really good. And that's going to be touring all round Liverpool, various different places. And if you want tickets for it, I think if you go to www.beatingberlusconi.com, something like that, and you should be able to book some tickets for that. Okay, well, that's the news. And so, let's move on. Rounding up the week. This week, Ian, you've been here, there and everywhere. There's been lots of various different things you've been to. Obviously, you've been really busy with the Liverpool Art Prize, so I'm surprised you haven't sat back and taken it easy. But all of these you haven't necessarily been to, so what have you been to? What's opened? What's good?
Actually, I think I did go to all these. It was a really busy end of the week last week. We went to Editions in Cook Street for the private view of Tony Wells' People and Places. These are mostly nice big paintings, oil on canvas, but they're quite sort of light colours, almost like you might think they were watercolours if you just saw pictures of them, but you can see they're oils on canvas when you close up. They're really good. He's worked as an illustrator, and you can see that they are quite illustrative, you know, sort of black lines and things, drawing, painting. Yeah, that's good. Most pictures of some of Liverpool, some of his partner, some of New York, street scenes in New York. Nice. Okay, and
when's that on?
It's on till the 10th of May.
Brilliant, that sounds good. That's Editions. Where else have you been, you busy person?
The Blue Coat Display Centre, Matthew Burt. It's called Idea to Object. It's furniture, but really, really good furniture. If I had loads of money, I'd go and buy this stuff. It's great. Made from wood, you know, oak, elm, that sort of thing. And his apprenticeship for 8 years or something to learn the craft, and now he still makes stuff himself, but he also designs the things, and then other people who've done their apprenticeships make these things, and they're just lovely, like tables, chairs, chest of drawers, cabinets, and they're just really, really interesting objects, really arty, and just so beautifully made. You know, the drawers just glide. There's no it's all joints, all done with joints, and yet the drawers just glide so smoothly and look beautiful.
The old-fashioned way.
Yes, yeah, and he was there, you see, and so he was explaining us how the markings are made in the wood and the different types of wood, and it's really interesting. He's going to come back and do a talk, so I haven't got the dates here, but could go along to that. He's not local, he's from Wiltshire, furniture designer, and he's got a website with all this beautiful stuff on. So anyway, yeah, I definitely recommend going along to see that. The next door to Blue Coat Display Centre, there's a shop now called Triptyque, and some of his work's in there as well, because Venture's quite big, and so we actually spread into the shop next door, Triptyque, which mostly does fashion wear and other things.
And when's that on till?
And that's on till the 6th of June.
So loads of time there?
Yep, plenty of time to see that. Definitely recommend it anyway. And while we were there, we popped into the what used to be the barber shop on the front of the Blue Coat in School Lane, just up to the left of the entrance to the Blue Coat. Barbers that I used to go to occasionally. And it's now empty the most of the time, but there's occasional exhibitions, and at the moment there's one by Sasha Waldron, who's a local artist, and she's really into archiving. She archives loads and loads of stuff, and one of her archives is postcards, and she's just selected her postcards, which are on the theme of seaside or coastal, and put those up around the walls, and that's quite interesting. It's interesting that you'll notice that postcard companies often use the same templates, exactly the same templates. And so we spotted a few of this. In the middle is a big black cat with a big red ribbon around its neck. And this is on a few different places. Obviously not a local cat. He gets all around the place.
Bizarre. Okay. That's the old barber shop, of course. Yeah, that's I know it well. You did used to go and get my hair cut there until I found City Barbers of Bowl Street. Which is right in front of Fact on Bowl Street. Much better barbershop. Tell Joe I sent you.
I've never tried that one. In fact, I always forget about it because it's sort of hidden away down that little arcade, isn't it? Yeah. Or is that called? Is that Per?
No, that's City Barbers. That's, you know, it's a gentleman's barber's. It's not one of these kind of fancy places where you go and get your hair coiffured.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that one. No. Another one. Anyway, okay, yeah, I must look out for that one. Okay. What else do we see? Yeah, on the big screen on Friday, as part of the Move Zone 9 little festival of moving images that was going on all around the northwest, well, mostly at Cornerstone in Manchester. But on the big screen in Clayton Square, there was a thing called The Huge Entity by Sam Meach. And this involved, I think I explained it last week or tried to, people moving around, the people that were moving around in front of the screen would somehow be filmed. And on the screen, it would sort of trace their movements in colour. And so you leave like a coloured trail around the screen. And so, yeah, that happened. We went along and moved around, and there were a few dancers there. I think they were sort of from Lipper or somewhere. That obviously, proper dancers, not just people going crazy. So they were running around and dancing, and so we were watching that on the screen, and it looked good.
And did it work? It worked? It's kind of like it. The technology worked?
Yeah, it did all work, yes. And so sometimes the images were really, really blurred, almost white. And other times you could actually see your features almost, and sort of move between being really abstracted and not abstracted. And yeah, it all worked out. It was on for a couple of hours. We were there for 20 minutes or so, and it was good.
You didn't video it?
I did, actually, but I haven't done anything with it yet. I shall try and get it off the video camera and upload it, and you can have a look.
Excellent. Okay, well, maybe we'll get to see that. And just going back to the Seaside Coastal Postcard Show, that closes on the 5th of May. And that was the Corner House. When you mentioned Moves 09, you said the Corner House in Manchester. Yep, get down there. That's rather brilliant. And so what else has been going on this week?
Again at the Blue Coat, we went there on Saturday, had a one-day event called How Do They Make It? And various people are based at the Blue Coat, the artists and the retailers and so on, were running little workshops and had open studios, etc. We got there a bit late because we'd also been to Rockscape to see Seal Cup Clubbing Club perform, and Ramsey Campbell gave a reading, and Frank Cottrell Boyce gave a reading. That was really funny. And so we were there for a while, and then eventually we got to Blue Coat. And so we saw some textile, just caught the end of a textile workshop going on there. Lots of pleating and things. That was good. And then we went up to the restaurant, and the chef was showing people how to make the perfect scone. Because summer's coming up, and he made some strawberry jam using frozen strawberries. That's a tip for you. And these huge scones, and he showed us how to make them. That was interesting. Didn't taste them because they were made with egg, so I couldn't eat them.
Vegan, aren't you?
That's right. Being vegan, we couldn't eat those scones, but they did look delicious. And from there, we went up to Sally Booth. There's an artist called Sally Booth, who's been in residence in the Blue Coat for 3 months, and her residency comes to the end this week, 1st of May. So, but she was there with her studio open, and that was really interesting. I've put it on the blog. There's she's been going around... she does mostly sketches onto big sheets of acetate, and so they're transparent. And she does this thing where she did a few of the Blue Coat garden and put one behind the other, and so it was like a 3D thing. Difficult to describe and difficult to photograph as well, but if you can get along this week, hopefully she'll still be there and you can see them. And what else? And then later on, we finished off with a talk from the guys from the Baltic Fleet pub. And I'd forgotten that they actually brew their beer in the cellar there. It's a microbrewery.
I hadn't forgotten that.
Yeah, and so they came along with a few samples, and we all had a beer tasting of these different... it's called Whopping, isn't it? They always shirts with the logo on, which says, "Mine's Whopping." And apparently that's when you drink it, you say, "Mine's Whopping." There's a bit of an innuendo there, but it's also the brewery, Whopping. Yeah, that was a really interesting talk about the pub and its history and how they brew the stuff and that. Not to do with it, nothing to do with visual art, is it? But it was good fun.
Yeah, it's a fantastic pub. And so was the beer vegan?
I'm hoping so. didn't actually... It's real ale, but it could be... it should be okay.
Yeah, it's beer, it's okay. Oh, okay, no. Well, you have been busy there, haven't you? You've managed to fit 3 or 4 things in there all in one day. So that's great. That is the...
The roundup
of the week. This week, Ian, what's coming up? What are our papers here? What's coming up?
A few things this week. On Wednesday, that's the 29th of April, there's a fundraiser for the John Moores Fine Art Degree Show. Their degree show opens on 22nd of May, and they're just raising funds. It's having to do with TBGBs from 8:30 onwards on Wednesday. And on Thursday, there's Arena Gallery. Arena Studios and Gallery, they've moved into the elevator building, which is the backside of the Novas CUC. The entrance is on Parliament Street. And so it's their first exhibition in there. They've got a very small gallery space there, but they're going to use it as much as they can. And so this first exhibition is called Collar Elective, because it's collage, basically, and collar is the French word that the collage comes from, I think. There's 4 artists showing their collage-y work in Arena Gallery. Viewing is on Thursday, 6 till 8.
And I believe there's an after-show party at the Leaf Tea Shop.
I'm sure there will be, yes. To get to the gallery, you've got to go into the entrance on Palmer Street, which brings you into Leaf Cafe, and then you people will... you have to find your way up to the second floor with the lift, and so then you come back down to the Leaf and have a party. I can't remember how long the exhibition's on for. I think it's until sometime in May. I think it's the end of May, actually. What else have we got? Also on Thursday, there's a viewing at Egg. There's Short Spring Open, about 30 artists involved in that. The usual groups show created by Headspace, all on the theme of spring, I presume. Also this week on Friday, the 1st of May, 6 o'clock, there's a viewing at View 2 called Fan Power. This is Stephanie Power's photographs of football fans. I think it actually opens earlier in the week, but the viewing is on the 1st of May, and that's on for another week or so after that, I think. And then what else have we got opening this week at the Conservation Centre? Oh, they've got the new... They always have photographic exhibitions there in the Conservation Centre, and this opens on Friday, the 1st of May, and runs right through until the end of August. And this should be interesting and quite funny, some of these pictures that I've seen. It's Francesco Molina, who was photographing Liverpool's youthful and exhilarating post-punk era from 78 to 82. Some of the images are quite amusing. Of the people in the nightclubs, the dress they wear in the sort of New Romantic era. That's going to be good.
Oh, it's still at school.
I wasn't into the post-punk thing so much myself. So yeah, I'm sure some of the pictures are taken at Eric's and the like. How many? It's called Sound and Vision. I'm trying to remember how many. Oh, over 60 photographs, most of them previously unseen. So yeah, that's in the Conservation Centre until the end of August.
That should be really good. And I was flicking through the Eric's book. Have you seen the big Eric's book?
Yeah.
I was flicking through that. £25, news from nowhere. It was really great. And it's kind of like, oh, so this sounds very good indeed. So that's Sound and Vision at the Conservation Centre. Opens this Friday, goes on till August. Do you know what? I won't tell you. I'll tell you later. And so that's... Oh, yeah, go on. What else is on this week then?
Yes, also opening on 1st of May at the Tate Liverpool. They've installed loads of new different sculptures. This is not the special exhibitions on the fourth floor or the ground floor. It's the sort of first and second, maybe even third. No, first and second floors, where they have the DLA Piper series stuff. And it's called This Is Sculpture. And they've got various people to curate this, like Michael Craig Martin, Wayne Hemingway and his son, and others have selected various sculptures by people like Pablo Picasso, Henry Moore, Barbara Hepworth, and there's recent acquisitions by Sarah Lucas, Jim Lambie and Terence Koh. And there's even Duchamp's Fountain, or a replica of it, from 1964. The original was 1917. Yeah, so that sounds really good. Lots and lots of really well-known sculptures. Opens on the 1st of May, and it'll go on for probably a year or so on the first and second floor.
Brilliant. That sounds rather nice. So that is this week. Further ahead. What's coming up further ahead, Ian?
I was just going to mention one thing, which again is at Tate Liverpool, and this is the Sol LeWitt artwork. It's just one big artwork. It's going to be on the ground floor where the William Blake works had been, but that's finished now. Sol LeWitt, he actually died last year. He did these large paintings, take up the whole wall or walls, and it's sort of just bright colours of vertical lines and wavy horizontal line, which sounds very simple, but it looks really effective. And we're talking to some of the people who have been installing this over the past couple of weeks, and they're gonna. It opens on the 12th of May, so still a way to go. And an expert's come over from Belgium to help install this. And I say it sounds very simple, but it's a really, really major job to get it perfect. It's got to be perfect. All according to the instructions left by Sol LeWitt. And so they replastered the wall, and it, not just to make it perfectly smooth, but actually so smooth it's almost like a gloss finish. And then five coats of gesso, and then this guy's made various devices, compasses, to draw the lines exactly right all along the wall, and then got special masking tape in from New York because it has to be... has to not go straight. it's masking tape which goes around corners, and they've been doing that. And then this whole team of I think it's seven of the Tate technicians have been drawing these lines and putting on the coat of gesso, and now they've got to paint it using special acrylics which have been shipped in from somewhere, cost £50 for a small tin, etc. And so on and so forth. The actual making of it sounds really interesting. I think they've got to put down five coats of paint, and it's got to be look just right, obviously. That all sounds like hard work, and I hope the finished article is good. Oh, well, it will be. But it's just interesting to hear the work that goes into these things.
So do you think Tate Media will have done the making of?
I hope so, yeah, maybe not. Yeah, I think later on this week they're going to, it's on that ground floor area, the back room there, and I think they're going to let the public actually watch them doing this painting. You can't actually go in, but you can sort of stand in the doorway and watch them somehow, I believe. So we'll pop along this week and see if that's true.
That'd be really good, can't it? It sounds really complicated. Well, it is really complicated. You're just thinking, well, why don't they do it on panels and put all the panels together? Might not look right, but you know, it might be an awful lot easier.
Yep, yeah, that opens on 12th May and runs through until the 13th of September. It's called Artist Rooms.
I'm not surprised it runs for so long, because it's taken them so long to create it. And so, Ian, another Art in Liverpool podcast draws to a close. And I would like to say thank you very much, and congratulations once again on the Liverpool Art Prize success. Thank you.
And thank you.
And good night, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading from Deaf